You're listening to Daycare Overhaul, Doing Childcare Better, presented by Childcare BizHelp.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Daycare Overhaul.
I'm not going to be able to keep it together today.
It's good because this is kind of a topic. That's all I'm going to say.
Right. So welcome to Daycare Overhaul, where we do childcare better. I'm Justina Patterson.
I'm Caroline Jens.
And it's off to a great start already.
It is. All right. This is going to be one for the books, I have a feeling. All right. So the topic is, it's okay to say no in childcare.
And that's, I think, probably one we don't hear very often.
Right, because we just, you know, in childcare, we are kind of mother figures, nurturing. We want to give our hearts, you know, we wear them on a sleeve and it's like, yes, you can do that. Yes, you can do that.
Sure, we can take care of that for you.
But today we're going to learn how to say no.
And why it's okay and maybe some examples of when to do it.
Right, and I'm going to start by saying no to the cold. I'm sitting here freezing. It is like 0 degrees in Wisconsin, and I am going to officially say no to the cold.
It's funny that you're so cold because last year in January, it was like negative 45. So honestly, it should feel like a heat wave right now.
That's scary.
Well, it's misleading too because the sun is out. Yeah, so it looks like it could be like 20, which is like beautiful.
Well, I am going to officially stand by saying no to the cold. But I do want to say, you know, I'm sure we can all relate. I'd like to kind of bring out a little story. You know, when we think about saying no in childcare, I think of, you know, maybe past teachers that we've had that come to you and they ask you for something and you're like, sure, I can accommodate. You know, so whatever that is, they want a change in schedule or they want a little more flexibility, you know, just a little simple ask. And you're like, sure. But then it's like you open Pandora's box.
You're right.
And they come back to you 2 days later and they want something else.
And you probably be like, yeah, that works. That's okay. We can do that.
But then it's like this snowball that just spirals out of control. And next thing you know, it's just one thing after the other after the other. And so that's really kind of where I want everyone's mindset to be, is we need to learn how to, you know, we have to say yes for a lot of things, but we also need to know when to say no.
And I think we've all been there. We all probably have that teacher, or in your head, you're like, yep, I know exactly who you're talking about. It went on for too long. And now it's like, how do you get control back? Well, what do I do now?
Right. How do you take it back? That's a really good point. And hopefully we're going to touch on that. Hopefully that's in my notes, how to get that back.
We'll see.
We'll see. Okay. So how does saying no overhaul your childcare center? Because that's what we do. You know, we talk about how to, you know, take what you're doing, things that maybe you're not, that could use some changing up. You know, let's overhaul it, try a different strategy, and let's see what the effects are on how you run your business.
Right.
And so, you know, why learn to say no? And I've got a couple points here that I want to go over as to, you know, why be concerned about that. And so first, I just want to bring up consistency. When we compromise our processes and our procedures, we lose consistency. So whenever someone asks, you know, I want to do this or that, and it goes against a policy or procedure, you lose consistency in your childcare centers. So we need to be thinking about that underlying why you need to be able to say no at times.
And I think it's important to recognize that it's hard sometimes to be consistent because everyone's short-staffed. It can be really stressful. And sometimes it's just easier to just be like, okay, I'll just do it this one time. But then you become consistently
one time,
then not following your processes and procedures, which then spirals into, I think, the next thing you're going to talk about, which is fairness.
Right. So fairness, if we are straying from our procedures and our processes and we're allowing certain things to happen, as a leader, you can be stereotyped as not being fair. And so we have to be really cautious. Part of why we say no is so that we don't compromise people thinking that we're not fair.
And I think, I mean, I just go back to when I was a teacher. That was really important to me that I knew everything was fair. Right. Because you even if the leadership thinks they're being fair, if that's not how it's perceived because you don't know, then what is that saying? And then it makes you mad.
Right. And sometimes as an employee, you may not like the answer, but as long as you know that it's the same answer everyone else is getting, you know, that director is being fair across the board, it's easier to swallow,
right.
I think.
Right.
The other thing as to why we should learn to say no is productivity. You know, we have to be able to prioritize our days and be productive in, because we don't have a lot of hours. We don't have a lot of free time. And so sometimes saying no is the underlying reason to us being more productive during our day.
And not to interject, and I don't know if you're going to talk about this, but it might just be no, not right now.
Good point. I don't have that in my notes.
Well, maybe we can touch on it. But I think I just what comes to mind is a staff member like, I want to do this cooking project today. Can you run to the store and get this for me? No, not right now. I could go after work. Can you do it tomorrow? Or I have a scheduled, you know, grocery trip tomorrow. Could you do it the next day? You know, so, sometimes it's no, not right now.
I love that. And I feel like I'm really glad that you brought that up because I totally did not even think about that. I love the no, not right now. And I think that really fits into the productivity, the fairness, the consistency, that whole thing in terms of it may not just be right for the moment. And that's okay.
Right.
So the other reason would be sanity.
That's important.
We all need sanity.
I think it's important. I think childcare can be super stressful. And so sometimes you just need to get through the day. And if that's just keeping your sanity by telling someone no, then it's important to just do that.
Exactly. So sanity is really important. And then finally, why learn to say no would be your values and mission. Okay. Even personally, you know, we all have a personal mission. We all have a personal value that we place on ourselves. And then our centers portray another value and mission. And the more that we compromise and continue to say yes and stray from that mission, that's going to ultimately affect why we do what we do.
Well, and I feel that any one of these snowballs into the other. You know, if you're not consistently fair, then you're not being fair or consistent. Or, you know, if you're not valuing your values and your mission seriously. If you're not honoring your values and your mission, then you're going to lose your sanity. So they're all, yes, they're five different topics, but they all kind of mesh together.
Right. So we're going to dive into 10 different scenarios that we're going to go through. And it's really on ways that as a leader in your childcare center, you can learn to say no during these different scenarios and it's okay. And we're just going to talk through how to navigate those situations. But before we do that, have you ever been told no? Justina?
Yes. And then I try to sell my side of the story.
Okay. Okay.
But I think that I learned this a very long time ago that if you want something done, plead your case. So even if you tell me no, I might come back and say, but this is why I want it. And then I plead my case. And then if you still say no, then I have to accept it. But at least I got to say like, why? And I think that that's important. Like at least hearing, like, is this valid? Like, is there a reason that this ask or this thing is happening? And should I just listen to what they have to say? Because then I want my way. Not all the time, but sometimes you're like, well, what about this and this and this and this is why?
Well, and I think that's a really good point to bring up is that if you tell someone no, and then they come to you and they start pleading their case, that doesn't mean you have to then say yes.
Right.
Like, you don't have to let them persuade you. Right. It's okay for the other person to come at you and like start saying things to you and start pleading their case. So don't let that sway your decision. And I think I might bring that up at the end, but let's get into some of these strategies.
Let's do it.
All right. So.
Well, no, I need to interrupt. Have you ever been told no?
All the time in my life.
And like, how do you handle that? Do you think it's situational about who tells you no? Or.
I think it's how they say no.
Mm.
So if you think about a parent, what does a parent do when they say no? A lot of times a parent doesn't necessarily justify why they say no, because they're setting an example for their child. They shouldn't have to go into all the details. They have to show the child that they have authority.
Right.
So mom and dad shouldn't say, I'm saying no to this because of A, B, C, D. Right. So you should be able to, as a parent, say, no, I'm mom. I know what's best for you and I'm not going to negotiate. Mm-hmm. So there's that kind of a no. But then there's a no from your boss when they're having a conversation with you and you're asking for something and they tell you no. Deep inside, you're thinking, well, I must not be worth anything, or they don't really care about me, or they don't value me. So the right kind of leader is going to be able to justify, add a little more details as to why behind the no. I think that's the important part.
That makes sense. And, you know, how I like to plead my story a lot of times, I like to know the reasoning behind things. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to understand. So sometimes for some people, and whether or not that's right or wrong, like, that's just kind of how I am. I just want to understand. So just tell me. Maybe. And I get, like, sometimes there's a time and a place, like, I can't give you a reason. But if you can, that might be helpful for some people to really understand it, because they just need to know.
Right. But there's the time that, like, my husband says no if I want to go do something and then I want to pout. Do you ever do that?
Maybe.
I see it in your face.
Yes. I mean, who doesn't, really? You know your significant other well enough to know, like, if they say no, but I really want it, what do I need to do?
What do I need to do to get it?
I'll usually look at my husband and I'll ask for something. He's like, nope, not the puppy dog eyes. Don't even start. And I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah. So just keep all that in mind when we're talking about saying no to your staff or how you receive saying no. You know, we all have a kind of reaction to that word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our job as leaders in our childcare centers to be able to kind of navigate that.
Right.
And so the first scenario that I want to talk about is taking on more work.
Ooh.
So that's that sanity kind of, you know, productivity,
mm-hmm.
that why. So a lot of times, and I know if you're like me, I'm an overachiever. I love pleasing people. And so we have a problem. Like, there's people like me have problems because we have this sickness to wanting to please people. And so what that does is that we have a tendency to not say no. And the next thing you know, I'm like overextended. I'm dropping balls all over the place because I've got myself spread too thin.
Right. I have done that. I mean, I know when I started coming to work for you, I was like, yep, I'll do it. Yep, I'll do it. And you finally said, you can tell me no. And it wasn't that I didn't, I knew I could, but I didn't, you know, you don't want to let somebody down.
Right.
And so I was just like, okay. And I feel like now I've gotten better. I'm like, no, I can't do that right now. I can later, but not right now.
Right. So that brings into that point where, mm-hmm. you said not right now.
Right.
And so when, you know, I want you to really think, if, even if you are a center director and the owner comes to you and they say, you know, I really need you to start doing ABC. If it's not something necessarily that with your current, you know, workload that you can fit in and still maintain your sanity, I really encourage you to sit down and have a discussion.
Right.
With that owner and really explain as to, you know, let's look at my plate. Let's look at how I'm allocating my time. Is there something we can do to, if you want me to take this on, is there something I can then delegate to someone else? So taking on more work, we have to really think through our sanity and our productivity.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, with taking on more work, I know for me, I think that maybe you're this way, is you like to have ownership of things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to delegate to people because you know that you're going to do it exactly how you want it done. So it's really hard to kind of like
take my baby,
you know, like release the reins. It's okay. Like, empower someone else.
All right. So I'm sitting here freezing, saying no to the cold. All right.
Mind over matter.
Mind over matter. All right. So the next scenario, I'm going to let you answer this one, but
I think that this is a little bit of a hard topic to talk about.
Right. Preface that.
Mm-hmm. if you have to ask a family to leave.
Yeah, we never ever want to ask a family to leave our childcare center. It's the hardest thing that you'll ever have to do. If you haven't had to do it yet, you're blessed, because it's not a good situation to have to, you know, you love these children, mm-hmm. every one of them in your childcare center. And there's going to be a time where you maybe have done everything that you can, you know, to help that child with whatever behavioral issues they have, you know, whatever that reason may be as to why you may need to ask that family to mm-hmm. leave. But it's never easy, no matter what, but for the sanity of your teachers.
For the safety of everyone else. Sometimes it's your last resort. I really feel like if it needs to be a last resort.
But you know what? It can also be better for the child.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, you know, a group childcare center is not necessarily the best place for every child or every family, every mom and dad.
Or personalities.
Right.
You know, kids have them and maybe they just don't mesh. And so it might be the best to just find somewhere else.
Right. And that's how I kind of feel when I remember a couple scenarios where we had to do this. It was very rare. I remember just two. And specifically feeling really good about suggesting where that family should go.
Mm-hmm.
And that we weren't necessarily the right fit to be able to provide what they needed. And that was okay, because I knew where they were going was mm-hmm. going to be a better situation for their family. So that's really the mindset I want you to grab hold of today, is that sometimes saying no is going to really be the best thing for your families.
Right. It's not an easy decision. It's not something that we say lightly. We're not just saying like, yeah, just tell them no, like you need to leave. Like, it's a serious decision and you really need to think it through. And like you said, how is this going to affect everyone else? Is there something I can recommend to them? All that kind of stuff needs to be taken into consideration.
Right. And it's never easy to lose revenue either.
Right.
I'll just point that out.
And I think maybe if someone is on the fence, they might not do it because of that reason. But what else could it cost you?
Right. You might cost you some teachers. It might mm-hmm. cost you some other students. So, right, there's that hidden cost that you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, asking a family to leave is one of those scenarios that there's times where you just have to do that.
Right.
The other I want to bring up is, you know, right now with the hiring crisis, we often feel like we're hostage to our teachers. And so they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they feel like they can just come to you and ask you for whatever they want.
Right.
And so when a teacher tells you that they need a day off or they need their schedule changed, and they're texting you in the morning or the day before, they're totally throwing off your schedule, and you feel like you can't say no because they're going to leave your center. And honestly, I know how, and I don't say this lightly, because we do hire for a lot of childcare centers, and I know it's not easy, but when your teachers, they talk.
Mm-hmm.
And once one teacher starts taking advantage of always just making up their own schedule whenever they want, it's going to, that fairness piece.
Mm-hmm.
The next teacher is going to do the same thing. The next teacher is going to do the same thing. And I know this for a fact. So it creates a culture when you start letting people just kind of dictate their schedule. And mm-hmm. so having to say no right away before it becomes a problem might be that stopping point. You might lose that person, but honestly, they weren't worth it.
Right.
And it's going to eliminate a lot of headaches.
Well, and really, if you're in that situation where you're feeling like a hostage and you're telling teacher one, okay, yes, and then teacher two finds out and you tell them yes, eventually you're going to have to tell somebody no, because you can't get everybody off when they want.
Right. What? There's times where there's like four people off on vacation on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you cannot allow that. Like, you have to learn how to say no to that.
Right.
Now, how about when a parent is constantly wanting to change their schedule?
Again, I think you have to just put the boundary up. And maybe you do it once. And okay, fine. But you need to say, we don't normally do this. It goes against our policies. But I understand the situation you're in. And I'm going to allow it one time. But it will not happen again. You may open yourself up to it happening again, and then you're in that situation again. But what would you say? Would you say let it happen once and warn them, or would you just say don't do it at all?
You know, oftentimes I find myself, you know, compromising that first time. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you put that disclaimer out there, like, this is not, you know, normally what we do, so I'm going to allow it this one time. So you've set that precedent, like, one time.
Right.
But then if you say that and you do it again, then you've ruined all credibility.
Right.
And all authority, for sure.
So if I would say if you say one time and you need to stick to it, you have to kind of stick to your guns and say, sorry, no.
Exactly. Oh, tough. All right. What about the... So this is another thing. Every staff member wants to work like 9 to 3, 9 to 2. It was like that when we were working in mm-hmm. childcare. And so how do you say, no, I need people that are going to work, you know, I need people that are 8 to 6. I need people that are, you know, 6 a.m. to 4, whatever that schedule is. We can't have everyone working 9 to 3.
Right. And I think that kind of goes back to when you hire them, set the tone there. Number one, if they come to you with those specific requirements ahead of time, then you need to hire them, knowing that number one, you have to stick to what they are available. And number two, you might get backlash from some other teachers because everyone wants to have that great shift. So just be prepared for that. But number two is if they don't have those sort of requirements, be very honest with them and say, this is the time set that we have available now. Is that okay with you? And they're going to have to just accept it.
Right. And I would go a step further in terms of before anyone starts on day one, I am going to have them sign off on their schedule. This is the work schedule that you're agreeing to work. So make an offer letter mm-hmm. that has their salary, their start date. It lays out exactly what their schedule is going to be. And then I would have them sign off on it. Because at any point when they come back to you and say, I need to make a schedule change, like even though 3 days ago I just started and now I want like this completely different schedule, you can say, no, this is what you signed up for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what we hired you for. And if that's not what you really want to do, then, you know, thank you, but no, thank you.
Right. And I think especially now with the crisis that's going on, that would be a hard thing to do.
Super hard. And everyone's sitting on the other end of this podcast going, yeah, right.
But again, it sets a tone for everyone else.
That is what I really want to get across. It really becomes a culture. And if we have that culture in our childcare center, people are going to be late every day. They're going to call in sick all the time. And they're going to have your center director constantly changing the schedule, constantly rearranging people, and mm-hmm. it's going to be chaos. I believe that the best run centers are ones where people aren't compromising on those simple things like schedule.
Right.
For sure. All right. Here's a tough one because I don't even know if this is, I bring this up because this is a hard one, but saying no to a raise.
Right.
I mean, obviously, wages are out of control right now, mm-hmm. and we may be able to give, we might not be making enough money. So I know a lot of you think that every center is full, and that's not the case. We've been to a lot of childcare centers lately that are not full, that are losing money. And in situations like that, you may not be able to give a raise.
Right.
But what you can do is create a great culture. You can give incentives based on, you know what, when we hit this number, here's what we can do. So just kind of laying it out so they feel like there's not hope.
There's no hope.
That there is no hope. So, and then if you have an underperformer that, you know, wants a giant raise, you have to learn how to say no. Because if you put your employees across, put them next to each other and see what everyone's making, if you've got one of your bottom 20, the bottom feeders of your organization, and they're making more than your top performers, you have an issue. Right. So you need to be able to say no and control that area of your childcare center.
And I think that's probably really hard because I would think they could say, well, then I'll just leave. Bye.
Bye. And we don't say that lightly. Right. Again, we totally understand the staffing crisis. All right. So what about, you know, that family that wants you to do special things for their child during the day? Like, my child needs 3 naps a day.
I think this question is twofold. If they're under 2, in the state of Wisconsin anyways, they need to be on their own schedule. I think it's under 2. Now, I'm probably not accurate, but I know for sure infants have to be on their own schedule. So if they need 3 naps a day, then they get 3 naps a day. But if they're 4, probably not.
Probably not. And it might not just be naps. It could be them wanting you to give them, you know, special treatment like, oh, they can only eat with this, this, and this. Or my child is too cold outside for my child to go out, so I want them to stay inside. But yet every other child is required to go outside. So we have to be careful that we don't compromise that kind of thing. You know, so saying no to those families so they know, no, these are the boundaries. And like, your child has to go outside today.
And I think this one is hard because there are some situations where you have to accommodate them. If there's an allergy or a special, like some of those things, like, yes, we will accommodate that. We will do that. But some of those things, like, can you keep them in today? It's too cold. Sorry, we can't do that.
Right.
We don't have a place for them to go. There's no other place for them to go. I apologize. No, sorry.
Right. And explaining the why. And I think that's really important. Like, the kids have to be active. They have to get outside and get fresh air. It's required. We need them outside. We don't have spare teachers that can just sit in the classroom and pick and choose who goes outside.
And I think for that one specifically, because I think that people probably see that a lot, telling them your state requirements on cold weather. If you live in California, you may not have the situation. Maybe if it's too hot. But there are.
Oh, it's too hot.
Caroline would give anything right now to be hot. But there are those.
Wait,
those,
I'm not hot?
You know what I mean. You're over there shivering. I mean, I feel like if we weren't videotaping this, you may have a coat on.
I would.
So I know this in the state of Wisconsin. I would venture to guess that this is true everywhere. Is there are laws in place about when it's too hot and too cold to go outside. And they have these predetermined rules. And they will say this degree with the wind chill in Wisconsin, it's if you're this age, it's this. If you're this age, it's this. And then the same thing if it's too hot or if there's a heat advisory. Then no, of course, we're not taking the children outside. We can't.
Right.
But as long as it's within the guidelines, then yes, they'll go outside. And maybe if, you know, for example, in the state of Wisconsin, it's 2 and older is 0 degrees with the wind chill. Well, sometimes 0 degrees with the wind chill is cold. And so maybe you just say, I understand. And we are still going to get outside just because we need to run some energy. But we probably won't stay out there for the full allotted time.
Right.
And just maybe that would be a good compromise. And it would just kind of set that parent at ease.
Right. And that teacher, because they don't want to go outside in that either.
Right.
What about when a child has a fever? And they have to leave because, you know, they threw up or had a fever or whatever, and they want to come back in the morning.
I would venture to guess, again, people see this all the time, it's important that you stick to your sick policy. You know, we make tour packets for our clients all the time, and one of the questions that we include on there is, what's your sick policy? And we have them lay it out because it's clear and say and no. When we were at a center, we instituted sheets that the parents had to sign, and we would explain to them, this is why we're sending them home. These are the requirements for them to come back. And so they know that. You have the conversation, and then they leave. I think sometimes it's important to encourage your teachers, like, have the conversation with them so that if they don't remember the policy, now they know it, and it's fresh in their mind.
Right. And some, you know, again, we are very compassionate people in childcare. So, you know, having to tell someone that they can't bring their child back, you know, it's hard because, you know, like me as a working mom, like I'm thinking, what are they going to do now? They got to go to work tomorrow. And so like I start feeling bad and then I want to give in. And if I did that, I might get more kids in the class sick.
Yeah. And I think it's important right there to realize it's the health and safety of everyone else too. You know, no parent wants their kid to get sick, but it happens. Kids get sick. But if it was reversed and another kid got sent home and came back sick, they would not be happy that a sick kid was allowed in here. So I think it's just knowing it's that kind of common courtesy. Like, I understand, but unfortunately, no, they can't come back.
Right.
And I think what's harder is when they show up.
Yes.
Saying, we're sorry, but they can't be here today, or they can't be here until this time.
And then they got to go back home. Oh, that's so hard.
It's hard, but you have to stick to it. You have to.
Right. So this is kind of another touchy one, but what about dress code? So a teacher comes in to work and, or a director. I mean, it could be anyone in your organization, and they come in and they've got, you know, and excuse me if, you know, this is not part of your dress code, but they come in with jogging pants on or words across the butt or spaghetti straps
or a low-cut shirt.
Right, low-cut shirt. And you have to tell them, you know, I'm sorry, that attire is not appropriate. You know, do you have anything in your car that you can change? You know, is there something maybe you can go home on lunch, or, you know, saying no to how people look when they come into work. It reflects your brand, mm-hmm. which is a podcast that we recently did. And so it's okay to tell your teachers no in terms of, or your staff no in terms of what they're wearing.
And it goes back to first impressions. If a family comes in and sees that, they might be like, what's going on here?
Right. Is this a daycare where they just, you know, babysit my kid?
Right. And I think what I always did typically is I always had to change of clothes in my car. Not for dress code purposes, but because I worked with toddlers, right. And they get messy, and sometimes you were in the baby room and babies spit up and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So just having that backup is great. And then if there's some sort of dress code question, then I'll just go change.
Or malfunction.
We kind of would always say, if you have to question if it's appropriate, it probably isn't.
Right. Right. So don't be afraid to tell your staff if, you know, if they cross a line in dress code or whatever, it's okay to say no. I've got one last thing. It's not on your paper, but I just thought of it.
I saw when you skipped.
Oh. All right. Well, maybe we'll go back to that one.
Okay.
Say no to negativity.
Ooh.
Say yes to positivity. But no, seriously. If you know, everything we do is for this greater purpose, and it's hard work. And we want to love coming to work every day. And it's so hard when there's that negative Nelly. What do you call it? Is it negative Nelly?
I think it was a nosy Nelly.
Nosy Nelly. Yeah.
But negative Nelly works too.
Negative Nelly. And they're ruining the experience for everyone else. Mm-hmm. And we have to, as leaders in our organization, we have to be able to let our staff know if they're portraying a behavior that you don't want. No, that is not something that is acceptable here. Mm-hmm. I only want employees that are going to speak positive comments. You know, we want to uplift each other. We need to collaborate and work as a team. Yeah, you're going to be, we all need a space to complain. Right. We need a safe zone to do that. But there's a difference between that and between like that negative gossip,
mm-hmm.
you know, the instigator.
Right.
Or what if about that employee that speaks negative with families.
Ooh. It's all bad.
Dun, dun, dun. When they're talking about the company with a parent, that's a huge no.
Right.
And if you witness that in your childcare center, I suggest that you sit down those people and you have a really serious conversation with them about how there needs to be boundaries between you and families, even if you're babysitting with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're babysitting in your free time, which some centers let you do. If you do that, you still have to maintain the reputation of the center that you're working for.
Right.
And so if you go to their house and you start bad-mouthing other teachers or the way the companies run or whatever it is, as leaders, we have to make sure that if we hear that that's going on, we have to say no and we have to stop that right away.
Right. Well, you kind of touched on the spot that you missed. So now we don't have to talk about that. We're good.
So this was, yeah. So I know it's not like a super fun topic to say no, but it is definitely one that we have to remind ourselves that it's okay to do. It's critical that we do in order to have environments that are well run, places that people love to work. We have to learn how to say no. We have to say no for our sanity.
Right.
It's so critical. So some things that I wrote down that you need to make sure you do when you say no. You know, we were talking about the why that was important. Right. So sometimes, you know, explaining the underlying reason as to why you say no is really important. The other thing I suggest is being firm and direct. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we can say no and it comes across like really wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. But yet if we're firm and direct and we really are confident knowing like this is the best decision for today. So I have to say no. Mm-hmm. And just close the mouth. Sometimes if the more we talk,
the worse it gets.
So sometimes it's the answer for this moment is no, you know, and we just have to be quiet. So being firm and direct is important. The other one is your body language. So again, if you're saying no, but you're kind of like timid. So if you could see me right now, like all of a sudden I'm hunching my shoulders. I'm kind of like in a state of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're not confident when we say no, again, our body language will dictate that. And so then those really bulldozers, I like to call them.
Right.
They read that language and immediately they're going to see through that and they're going to negotiate their way out of that no. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of those people. They're so intimidating.
They are. But I think that's where your direct tone of voice and your body language, you have to just, even if you don't feel it, just try your best to just embrace it. And like, I'm going to hold this stance or I'm going to be strong just until I leave. And then I can just, you know.
And then I can like fall on my floor and melt. Right.
Then I'll go under my desk and I'll have a moment.
Well, there's nothing worse than like you go into a conversation, you're super confident, you're ready to say no. And then next thing you know, they walk out of your office and you had said yes to everything they wanted.
What just happened?
You're like, darn it. What did I do? And we've all been there. Let's be real. Like anyone listening to this podcast has been in that situation where there is that stronger personality that takes over and they crush you and they literally get everything they want. And so what we just really want to encourage you today is remembering the underlying reason as to why we have to say no sometimes. Mm-hmm. And be confident in it. Don't let people bulldoze you into saying yes. It's not a healthy situation. And if you're the kind of leader that is afraid of conflict like that, I suggest you do a little, you know, get some support and some training to help you get better
right
at being a leader like that. Because in order to have a really effectively run childcare center, we have to be able to set those boundaries.
Right. Do you have a challenge? Because I have an idea for a challenge.
All right. What's your idea?
So I don't know if anyone else has this in their center, but when we are at a center and we would walk in the door, everyone needs something from us right then. Yes. So I think what would be good is, because that's an easy place to start, just say, I can't talk to you about it right now, but let me get some stuff done and then I'll come back to it. So you're saying, no, not right now. And so then that's kind of setting that boundary. Like you're walking in the door, like let you get to your desk and put your stuff down.
Yeah, setting those boundaries.
And I think that's an easy place to start. Start there saying no and then build up from there.
Right. So when you're approached this week, everyone, and you're not ready to give an answer or you're not ready to
have the conversation.
To give them the attention, tell them no, not right now, and that you'll get back to them later in the day with the appropriate time to be able to have that conversation. I think that's a great challenge. That's a great overhaul challenge. We would love to hear if you've done it. So share it with us on social media and hashtag overhaulwin.
Yes.
And follow us if you don't already on all the socials. We're on Facebook and we're on LinkedIn and Instagram and everywhere.
YouTube.
YouTube. And as always, we always ask our listeners to please, you know, share with us what topics that you want us to talk about. We have a lot of guests that we have coming up that are going to be talking about some really great topics. But feel free to email us at info@childcarebizhelp.com. And we just really appreciate you guys listening in today or watching us.
We'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.